possibly one of the most mystifying Gemaras, is cited on Daf Yud Beis and Aleph, in which the students of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai ask their Rebbe why the Jews of Shushan were so imperiled and face such a disproportionate penalty. Why do they face Lahashmid, Laharog, Ulabed, Eskol, Hayudim? So Reb Shimon Bar Yochai allows the students to provide an answer, and their answer is very perplexing, because they partook of Achashverosh's Seuda. There's got to be something more severe or criminal than merely participating in this Seuda that would warrant the encounter of such a genocidal threat. So this two layers that seem immediately, almost not obvious, but certainly compelling, is number one, the moral environment of that Seuda, the exhibitionism, the voyeurism, the opulence, the orgiastic, hedonistic, 180 days, economically and morally abusive, while others are being taxed. And it reminds us that as Jews, we can't just gauge the appropriateness of a setting based on the kashrus level of the food, but have to ask whether this is a location that's appropriate for our own moral well-being, and it's reflective of our status and our role as Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. The second layer is that Achashverosh was celebrating, at least partially, the tabulation that the Golus of 70 years had already expired and that the Jews were still mired in Shushan. And the Kelim Mikelim Shonim, he was scoffing at the Jews by almost prostituting the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash for drunkenness and intoxication and revelry and partying. Chazal interpret the words v'kelim v'kelim mikelim shonim as a reference to his using the Kli HaMikdash as, not his ancestor, but as Belshazzar, the last Babylonian king, had scoffed at the Jews by parading their Kli HaMikdash in a party-like environment. And in a broader sense, Jews were struggling back in Eretz Yisrael to continue the process of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, which had begun years before the Purim Saga. And it's one thing not to join them when they're struggling, suffering, and dying, defending the nascent Jewish environment in Eretz Yisrael. It's quite another thing to revel in a 180-day party while Jews are struggling to rebuild Eretz Yisrael. And this is actually a medrash to that tone, or to that. One version of the medrash reads, Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Simon Amar Seudas Eretz Yisrael Hera Lahin. He introduced in his party Achashverosh something akin to a Seudas Eretz Yisrael. It's not clear whether it was Israeli food or food that they'd eaten or a type of banquet they'd eaten in Eretz Yisrael, but he's mocking the Jewish people and their acculturation to Paras Umadai while the Jews are still struggling to rebuild based on Koresh's initial decree. Rabbi Levi in the same medrash says he didn't just parade around the Klei HaMikdash, but also the Big Day Kihuna. So the second layer of the criminality of their involvement in this meal is not to the moral connotations, but the national and historical connotations. But then there's a third medrash, and it suggests that what was so criminal about the meal was the obscuring of Olam Haba by the indulgence in Olam Hazeh. So listen to the medrash. Amar Reb Chanina bar Atel, Yehudim Hayishem Bosasuda. There were Jews at that meal. Amalon Asa Rasha. So Achashverosh turns to them and says, Yachal Elohechon Asid David Lachon Yosir Mikan. Can your God top this? Look at the wealth, look at the affluence, look at the food, look at the material pleasure. Amrulo, so the Jews respond based loosely on a pasuk in Yeshaya. Of course, they may not have cited the pasuk in Yeshaya, but the Medrash overlays this pasuk. But the Jews respond basically, you're right, if we get to Olam Haba and the meal is impressive, we will already tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, been there, done that. We're going to yawn. Omrim lo kvar achalnu al shulchanu shel Achashverosh. We already had this type of Olam Haba. You can't really impress us with this type of meal. Now, there really are two fascinating issues latent in this medrash. Troubling issues. Number one, the conversion of Olam Haba into a materialistic, hedonistic experience. We don't see Olam Haba that way as food or women or wine. We see Olam Haba as a spiritual encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Rambam writes, Chachamim Yoshvim V'Atroseim B'Rosheim V'Ne'enim Yizev Hashchina, that we're encountering Hashem in a manner which isn't barriered in the same way it's impeded in this world. We don't see the next world as a continuation of physical experiences, and hence our view of physical experiences and body-centered experiences in this world is tempered, because it's seen as transitory. Our spirits alight, our bodies decompose. So, on the one hand, and this is very classic to Persian culture, on the one hand, Olam Haba is cast in ways that are very body-centric, materialistic, and there's almost a contamination of our view of the next world. The second issue is, of course, just the inability to differentiate between Ma'aseh Yedei Adam and Ma'aseh Elokim. Even if in theory we were to pitch Olam Haba as a physical experience, there's no way that a human being could in any way simulate or replicate the type of activity HaKadosh Baruch Hu is capable of, and of course the type of opportunity Hashem promises us in the next world, HaTov HaTzafon LaTzadikim. And it alters dramatically not just the hierarchies that we expect between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Basar V'Adam, but also between this world and the next world. This is not a world, even though it's pitched on causality, and we're meant the righteous men and their deeds are meant to be rewarded, and the wicked people and their deeds are meant to be punished. It doesn't always calculate as easily. And we expect there to be because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so precise and balanced, we expect there to be a reversal and an accounting in the next world that will allow the schar in the next world to compensate for all the suffering the righteous have received in this world, and vice versa. And to be able to blur those differences and to assume that a human being can create a paradise-like or a perfect otherworldly experience, it tears asunder the hierarchies, not just between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and human beings, but also the way we view our worlds. And that's what made it so criminal. It wasn't just morally troubling, it wasn't just troubling historically and nationally, but theologically to lodge such a claim was in conflict with some of the basic hierarchies of Avodas Hashem.